Let's give them something to talk about. I see the energy running out. I got a planet to run around. Okay, okay. You ain't do nothing but run your mouth. No, I don't want to be humble now. You doubted me, nothing to talk about.
Hello, everybody. You kind of cut that off a little bit. Ah, you didn't fade out.
Like, I did fade out.
I don't know. That kind of cut off kind of quick at the end.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
All right. So Christian Dean's with us today. She's a member here at Diablo. And Christian, I want you, first of all, we're appreciative you're here, but more importantly, you need to be appreciative of the fact that you are our 100th episode.
That's amazing.
Big deal.
Amazing.
Big deal here.
Yeah, wow. Ironically, we got to 99 and then we kind of fizzled out for amazing. A couple of weeks.
Yeah, it didn't fizzle out. The schedule just didn't work out.
We had vacations. We had people that couldn't podcast and that were going to podcast. And so we postponed our 100th episode. And it seemed appropriate that we have you on, given your energy and enthusiasm. And then your really cool story as well. So thank you.
100 episodes. That's awesome.
Yeah, 100 episodes stretched out over
almost.
Is it 3 years?
I want to say almost 3 years.
Yeah, almost.
Probably
3 years.
At least two and a half.
You know, I've been told that. Well, it's kind of what they say on the interwebs is that you get to 100 and like that's kind of like the breakthrough. You get to 100 and you know you kind of break through. So
that's the breakthrough. So it's happening.
Yeah, this is happening. We're going big. We're going big time.
Thanks for joining
this.
Us.
And I love that my story is the breakthrough. Let's go.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, look at Bill Leeper already. Is this happening today? Yes. Sorry, Bill. We're right on our time.
I just finished coaching. Granted, it was a while ago, but.
we start ish. All right, it's always kind of a suggested time, but it is recorded and then it'll show up on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts, and then it's always on YouTube as well at PRs All Day. But anyway, Christian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
Christian is here because she sent an email to me and Yvonne thanking us for what Diablo has done for her and her health and her fitness, and then telling us about her weight loss over that period of time.
Yeah.
Not surprisingly, not coincidentally, she's been a little bit of a talk of the town here at Diablo as well.
Well, that's good.
In a very positive way. And it's one of those things, and it's one of those things I can reveal about Diablo that, you know, maybe members probably assume, because maybe they don't. You know, the coaches notice.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches notice, and our staff notices. And I think our staff, when I say our staff, our team, I hate saying staff because it sounds so...
Team's better.
Team is better.
Yeah, our team
is way better.
It's more of a team.
Our team notices. And the ones that are the team that gets the most FaceTime with all our members, the ones up front, that are up in our front desk area and then, you know, manage all of the operations and manage our coach's schedules and everything else, manage the pro shop. They see everybody.
Yeah.
And they see everybody almost every day. But they see them in two formats, and why you've been discussed most recently. And so your email came and it was just kind of like, all right, we got to have her on the podcast because this story is pretty cool. Is what they notice is you, when you come in, your attitude, energy, and enthusiasm, and you know how excited you are to work out and be a part of the community. Yeah. They notice when people don't come in, also.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they always bring it up to my attention, which is great as an owner to have, you know, people, you know, pointing out, you know, we haven't seen so and so. As a matter of fact, I was having a conversation with Kat today that was sits up. She goes, you know, I haven't seen Anya in a while. And then when she what she does is she goes and she looks up her visits. Now some gyms have these things automated. We don't. I mean, I suppose I could in my system, but I just those automated things
takes away from the personal.
Yeah,
it just and they're annoying to be honest with you. Like, I rather
when you see an automated email come in, it doesn't mean anywhere the same.
But they notice those things. But here's what the other thing they notice: they watch the members go in and out on workouts. So if there's a running workout, or a loaded carry or something like that, they see the members going out, they see them working out, and then they'll go in and Kat and Yvonne and Kim also take pictures of the members. So they'll go out, you know, so that we have them for our sugar water, for our social media. And so then they're watching our members and how they're moving. And why Christian has been discussed prior to her email is because she was noticed as is how much faster she is and how much more how much better she moves in her workouts recently.
Yeah.
Like there was a couple workouts where we had like a 200 meter run or 400 meter run. And I remember Kim saying to me, look at her run. Like it's quite it's awesome. Stride. And 'cause when you came here a year ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And you know, not to continue to sing her praises too much before she even gets a chance to talk, but I just want to tell you that when she first came here, what really impressed us is that she was reluctant to scale the movement. She would do the movement, but she would do a less distance, and it didn't bother. And we need to talk about this because this is the thing. One of the things that people struggle with is the willingness to put themselves out there and be exposed. You know, while members are running 400 meters and literally, you know who those members are. They annoy all of us. Is they sprint those 400 meter runs and they're out in front. You're like, son of a bitch. Do I got to watch them coming back every single time?
God, like, damn.
And then my goal, right? And then my goal becomes get out the door before they come back in. She knows what I'm talking about. But
like
Christian,
my head.
Yeah, and Christian would walk. She'd walk the 200 instead of running 400 and then walk back, just being a part of it and not worrying about what people thought about it. And that for us as coaches and owners, like, that's awesome. Like that takes the most amount of courage. And we know it's hard for our members to do it. Nobody's judging them. No one. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. I think that's people would be surprised with a CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
People are congratulating you on the inside. Yeah. I posted something about that the other day on Diablo's Instagram. Someone had made a great quote. It was like the hero in the gym is not the one, you know, out in front.
Oh, yeah,
it's the one that is overweight, struggling. Yeah. I got a message from Coach Cole on that. And he said to me, he goes, this is so true. He goes, I am most proud of the members who have struggled with the fitness their whole life and they're coming in here putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
This is Coach Cole. And if you guys, everyone knows Coach Cole. Guys, when he's tatted beautifully, he's built like a freaking superhero. He's
a hard ass too.
He's a hard ass.
He's a hard ass.
Oh yeah. He's got his own, I told him he got him on the podcast. He goes, not yet. I'm not quite ready for that yet. he's had his own struggles in life.
Explicit details on the front.
But to hear that from him, was like, and he validated it as well. And that's what the struggle is real internally for people coming into CrossFit, especially, but the opposite is true with the community. The community is like, we want you to succeed. We want you to win. But anyway, so Christian was known for that. But recently now she heads out in the pack. You see the pack of runners and she's right there with the pack. And that's pretty cool.
I think it's dope.
Yeah. So that's my introduction.
I know
Christian.
It's dope.
Yeah.
I know it is. Because it's been awesome to watch you just kind of grow with that and like your stride and everything. It's just gotten fucking killer.
Let me ask you, first of all, how much weight have you lost since you joined Diablo?
40 pounds.
Nice. 40 pounds.
40 pounds. 40 pounds today, actually. When I sent the email, it was like 38 pounds.
Oh, that's outstanding. And that's over a year, right?
That's a year.
And people would say, well, and there are people that have lost more. I actually got that email, and I really like that email too. For this reason, is that the gradual reduction in weight over that period of time is, and everyone will tell you this, is much healthier and much more sustainable than a dramatic loss over a shorter period of time, or even that same period of time.
Absolutely,
it's just I feel like you're on the right path.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you attribute that the weight loss mostly to?
I think it's a couple of things. It's funny that you mentioned like having to walk while everyone was running. And I mean, we've got like army vets and people who have been in the Navy and like people who are built. And I remember one time I damn near quit. To be honest, I think you remember. Don't like scaling because it made me think that I was a loser. But I'm not a loser. I'm here and I'm winning. And it's taken a year to lose 40 pounds, but that's a fucking win. That's a win. That's a huge win.
Yeah.
I forgot your question.
So there's contributors. When we look at it is like the things that contribute to it. It's it's moving throughout the day.
Yep.
It's the actual working out, and then there's nutrition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is do you think that had the biggest impact or biggest influence on that number of those three?
Honestly, I think the biggest had to do with nutrition.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to say because I think nutrition and the fact that I've been doing CrossFit for a year goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
I think like before this, I joined CrossFit, like I was at 24 Hour Fitness.
Okay.
And been doing cardio. Mm. Back in 2011, I was 419 pounds.
And well, back in when?
2011.
11. You were
419 pounds. This is a journey, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
419 pounds.
So this 40 pounds here is
just
part of the journey.
It's a part of the journey.
Yeah.
I did 35 pounds naturally, kind of like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then had gastric bypass.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was 2 years after. And now we're 11 years out. And what one of the things people forget is it's tool. It's just a tool.
Yeah.
It's all about mindset, though. I will say, I think the biggest contributor for over the last year has been my commitment to like, okay, I'm just going to chip away every single day. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't want to be here, even if I want this or I want to eat that. But Gwen has helped.
We have some clients who will, where essentially we outsource our nutrition coaching anyway. Mm-hmm. And so we have some members that are using Gwen and she's a phenomenal coach.
Yeah.
Beyond the Box Nutrition, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Beyond the Box Nutrition.
Gotcha.
That's interesting. So one of the things that Christian revealed to me before we started this podcast is that like fitness is essentially new to her. Can I ask how old you are?
33.
So she's 33. So when did you start including fitness in your life? How many years ago?
It's been about 10 years, 10 or 12 years.
Okay. So almost at 23, right?
Yeah. Right when I realized that I was on the way to being over 450, mind you, I come from a family where my aunt passed away at 537 pounds and people in my family are large.
Right.
And so I was young when I realized that I got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did your aunt feel like she was not healthy or was it more, hey, this is who I am and I'm going to embrace who I am?
I love this question. I will tell you all the folks in my family are of larger bodies.
Yes.
I think that she before she passed, she felt trapped. Mm. And even at 419 pounds, I felt trapped. Mm-hmm. And I didn't admit it until I had lost all that weight. And then, you know, I put on some over the years, which is why I'm here because I realized that you can use tools, but it really is about your commitment to yourself.
When you started your fitness journey, did you think about what kind of research did you go? Well, I just need to start doing walking. I need to start running. I need to start doing cardio. I just need to go to the gym. And did you get a personal trainer or did someone tell you, did you read anything?
I got a personal trainer.
You got a personal trainer.
This was at 24.
This is at 24. Okay. I quit 24 when I came here. I was at 24 since then. Yeah.
Okay, good. And so
were you working with a trainer that whole time too?
I was working with a trainer only for like the first year.
Okay.
Yeah.
To figure out what to do.
Yeah, because the trainer had to help me lose 35 pounds before I had gastric bypass.
Okay, so that was kind of okay to as a prerequisite to move on to that.
That's correct.
Okay. Yep. And when, tell me about your fitness routine.
All cardio.
No, when you say resistance training at all?
No resistance training, all cardio.
Okay.
Is that resistance training was hard for me.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like just to like positional wise or because you move really well now.
Like, yeah. It was tough. It was harder. It felt difficult mm-hmm. in that body.
Yeah.
To have to do like some of the stuff that we do. I don't think that I could have done it at 420 pounds, or maybe I could have, would have had to scale it.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, even now I scale.
Yeah.
There's a couple of folks on Instagram that I follow that scale, and I've just embraced it.
That's great.
Yeah.
You follow Athena Perez? Scale Nation right there.
She
Scale
is
Nation.
Bomb.
Scale Nation.
Like,
there's nothing wrong with
goals.
Scaling. Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we love Athena.
Athena is a good friend, and she came here and schooled us.
Yeah.
And literally, it wasn't even getting training, it was getting schooled.
You got schooled.
Goals.
Yeah. Let's clarify. Got schooled.
I did. I got schooled. And because we make, I grew up in a family that was that maybe the opposite Christian, because it was four boys and my parents got us into sports right away. Probably to get us out of the freaking house. Stop driving her nuts. But she got us into sports. So we were all about athletics and sports. Like we started in elementary school all the way through. That's what it was about. And we became competitive. And then we became competitive with each other. And so that helped to help keep us active as well.
Yeah.
I'm also 60. And so there weren't any, and the benefit of that is there weren't devices.
Yeah.
Cause let me tell you what, when I hit 25 and those, some of those video games started to come onto the scene. I was there with them at 25. I was getting drawn at for hours I could play, video games. But before that, the first 20 years of my life, it just wasn't a thing. And so I was always out screwing around friends. And then I was, and then my brothers and I were always competing. We're always in sports, always doing either baseball, football, water polo, swimming. It was just always something. And so when I think about when I go to the gym or when I went to the gym, it was, lift weights, and be strong. But I also was comfortable in that environment because I grew up in that kind of environment. And then you think about the cultural difference. And this is what Athena taught us, is coming from someone that didn't.
Correct. It's intimidating as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For more than just what's going on in the gym, but even just for, some of the equipment and being able to use it. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Some of the fears that come with what could happen if something didn't work right.
I remember when I walked in here, I think it was Craig. I knew I was going to do it. Sometimes I just do things and I don't think, but I'm glad I just did it and didn't think.
She came on, you had a Peloton shirt on.
I did.
And I said, you Peloton? She's yes. And she got, I felt like you got a little defensive. I'm like, Peloton's awesome. Which it is. Peloton is remarkable. I think Yvonne and I still own some Peloton stock just because it's an amazing company that's bringing people into fitness.
Correct.
And I love Peloton for that reason.
Yeah.
Like if you can get people, you can break down that barrier of working out versus not working out, make it fun and get people moving. They'll find they'll find CrossFit when they're ready for it.
Inevitably.
Inevitably, and then we'll come in and we'll take their fitness to the next level. But Peloton is a great way to get people engaged at home without someone watching them.
But CrossFit actually took me to that next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What brought you into CrossFit? How did you find Diablo?
That's a good question.
So my coworker, Jackie Howard, she told me one day she was doing, it was the Labor Day workout. She had just joined. She's now at Santa Cruz, but she was saying that they had to run a mile, come back, do jump squats, get on a box and then run another mile. And it was her first workout. And she was like, it was terrible, but she's lost over 100 pounds. And so when she told me about Diablo, she actually told me to come to Diablo, gave me shoes. She said, you're going to need CrossFit shoes. So she gave me 3 pair of CrossFit
shoes.
Did
she really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. And so she's been my biggest motivator.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jackie,
Jackie Howard,
CrossFit owes you a debt of gratitude. And I tell people,
I'm gonna send her this.
Because I preach a lot to the affiliate owners and to CrossFitters out there. Everyone has these, you know, expectations when CrossFit goes through difficult times. It's like, well, CrossFit isn't doing this for me. CrossFit isn't doing this. CrossFit HQ is doing this. It's not up to them.
Yeah.
It's up to us.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of, you know, all of these affiliates that we have around the world. You can tell someone, she's in Santa Cruz. She says, hey, go to that one near you in Pleasant Hill, Diablo CrossFit. And by the way, you're going to need the shoes. Think of the embarrassments that she saved you if you came in here big fat.
She actually looked up. She's the one who told me to come to this one. She was like, you need Diablo.
Oh, that's so great. Awesome. And no, you're not going to be embarrassed if you come in here in your big Nikes, but you're going to walk in.
We'll educate you.
Everybody's
we'll talk. Hey,
when you come in, you know, people will glance and like, oh, they're new.
Although we still got some members that wear some of those old walking shoes.
They do.
Gonna get some flats.
There's some people who are stubborn and hang on them, which I love too.
Yeah.
So
the shoes make a difference.
And they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do for stability purposes. See, it's not just CrossFitters.
That's one of the first things I catch when we're looking at some of like the squats or just moving. Yeah. Just kind of being aware as far as where your balance is. The shoes can be a big factor.
Yep.
So how many days a week do you come work out at?
Average, I do about 3. Okay. Sometimes it's 4.
Okay.
But typically about 3 to 4.
Are you picking those days based off the programming or?
Oh man, that's
all truths on the table. Some of the workouts just look so fucking intimidating.
See, she's
Jamie's it's understandable.
She's understandable. She's already learned about cherry picking.
I will say sometimes, and this is pretty common too. And Craig, you could probably back it up, but the harder it looks on paper, and sometimes are some of the easier ones. Look on paper are actually the harder ones.
That's so true.
Yeah. Sometimes I choose the super fit.
Okay.
And like I always psych myself out. Like, super fit's easier.
Nope.
It's always harder. Like it is literally always harder.
I coached fit and super fit for about 3 years before I took one of the classes. And then I took one of the classes. I thought, my God, what are we doing to people?
Well, to be clear, fit is one of those workouts where you get to choose your own adventure as far as weights and skills. So it allows you to pick how hard you want to go or not.
And here's one of the things about CrossFit that I think is kind of misunderstood. The heavier workouts will slow you down, right? So you have a heavy deadlift, you have a heavy lift there, you have a heavy sandbag, a load of carry. Those things will slow you down. Our fit class is a class that's designed essentially for people that want to take a break from maybe the barbell or heavy loads, and it's lighter.
High gymnastics.
Well, as a result, and technical gymnastics. So as a result, you can do everything in those workouts. And as a result, there's nothing slowing you down. So you typically go faster, go longer, go harder. Intensity actually ramps up.
Yeah.
Can even be more intense than a regular CrossFit workout because you don't have those transitions or those things that can slow you down. Yeah. And so I think people do the fit class like, oh man, I am smoked because of that.
Yes. Yes. That fit class. I mean, sometimes the CrossFit too. Honestly, the classes are even if I'm like mentally, because it's all mental gymnastics for me.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Christian, you can get through 15, 20 minutes of this. Just go hard, commit to the workout, and then you're done for the day. So, I mean,
is that your like your self-talk as you come in
all the
time, you're walking in
all the time? Yes. And here's the thing: I'm like, I'm very, when I'm here, I try to disconnect, and Maddie will tell you, I have to turn off my phone and put it on airplane mode. Good. Just because this Excellent. Is my time.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think
we will.
It's not just workout for me. It's something, it's more than that.
It can be a form of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Therapy.
It's a form of therapy. Yep. You know, it's a chance for you to kind of like just not worry about what's going on, but you're looking inwards more than anything while putting out.
And that's what I told Craig. I told Craig in the email, and Craig and Yvonne, I said, this has helped me to show up as a better leader.
Awesome.
At work.
And so, what do you do for work?
I'm a director at a credit union. Oh. I oversee I oversee four retail branches.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's definitely takes a lot, which is one of the reasons why Maddie makes me put my phone on airplane mode.
Well, it's good because then you can focus on what you're doing in here.
Especially in credit, but especially now in credit and with the way interest rates have gone, it's I bet it's very challenging, very stressful. I've worked in the financial industry. I know how stressful it can be. And in the Bay Area too, on top of it is, you know, adds with traffic and everything else adds to that. One of the things we heard during the pandemic, because we were open most of it, was this is my mental health break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That people would come, and it was interesting. People would come and they would stay for we literally had to, we gotta go outside and people would stay for a long period of time because they gave them that kind of the exposure of the people, the community support, but also it was very like get rid of that stress.
So I still feel that.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a part of it.
And so your nutrition, how has that changed over the last year? Has it changed?
Yeah.
Do you think about it differently?
Well, a part of some of my nutrition, at least for the last 10 months, has been attributed to utilizing GLP-1.
Okay.
But I think, which is suppressed do you use the appetite.
When you talked about that, we talked about that briefly.
Yeah.
You don't actually use an Ozempic or a Wegovy, you use a compound, right?
I use a compound.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Well, it's a big difference in terms of cost. Yeah.
What is the difference?
Well, the cost, I mean, from $1,400 a month to $400 a month, which is still a heavy lift. $400 is still a heavy lift, but it's much more achievable than a $1,300, $1,400 price tag.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's with insurance.
So it's a compound, as I understand it, is simply a generic version of a generic version of the drug that's been compounded, the same components put together and shown to be equally effective.
Yeah. So it suppresses my appetite. I definitely eat less. Okay. But one of the things I noticed and Gwen and I talked about it was that I was craving sugar. Mm-hmm. But I was craving sugar because I wasn't getting enough protein. And so not even just recently, but I've been focused more on protein. Like went to a leadership seminar a couple months ago and had to make these little protein goodie bags. I had like almonds in there and string cheese and so it was just it's little changes. I don't eat past a certain time.
Good.
Avoid eating past certain time, but I have a yo-yo diet. I have a yo-yo relationship with food. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about somebody who was raised. I was 356 pounds by the time I was 17.
Really?
Wow.
So we're talking about
generations
and years of unlearning, right?
Mm-hmm. Good for you for understanding that time component.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were times where I would binge. I mean, I've never purged, but I would binge eat. And then, you know, my relationship with nutrition is cumbersome, very, very complex.
Yeah. And which again, we had Athena come here and we did the large body athlete seminar. And that was one of the things that we learned is that as you look at, it's not as easily it, she said, this is great. Like it is calories in, calories out.
Yeah,
at the tree. Right? That's it. Is that? But she goes, well, that's the top of the tree. Calories in, calories out.
You can trim a tree real easily.
Yeah,
but then foliage grows back.
She goes, you need to go down and dig into the roots.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I came to CrossFit because even when I got to my lowest weight, which was like I think it was 199, so and I got back up to 305 pounds because it was all mental about like you can eat calories in, calories out. I agree.
Yeah.
MyFitnessPal knew me religiously, but it was because I was limiting my food, but I was still eating garbage.
Yeah.
So I mean you can lose weight. right. eating garbage as long as you limit your calories. But I haven't been using my Fitness Pal recently.
Wow.
Because I'm trying to like make this my life.
More lifestyle versus living by an app.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is a, you know, was talking to Kat before this about the different people in this gym and the ones that are kind of what I call ever fit, that always fit. If someone came up and said, well, you're just like that. Well, yes, I am just like this, but you know, I will tell you, for example, at our household, you know, there's, you know, Yvonne only buys certain foods. She does meal prep ahead of time. I love sugar too, with the best of them, but I keep it out of the house. That way when I'm lazy or I'm like just bored and I go to get something, it's not there.
It's mostly boredom for me too.
And it becomes lifestyle. It's not as much you're just that way. That's the lifestyle. Yeah. And I have to think about it. Yep. She probably doesn't think about it as much, but I think about it, you know, all the time. And what's great about the CrossFit community is you'll find other people that are kind of like-minded. And I think people that are on the other side of it who have to lose weight, which to me, I just can't even imagine. I'm just, you know, glad I never got to where I have to go backwards, because going backwards to me would be where you've gone, where you've been and where you are now. I don't know. I don't know that I could have done it.
Yeah.
Right. Because that addiction is real.
It's real.
But it does become part of the lifestyle. And that's really cool that you're looking at it that way. Mm-hmm. I think that's super powerful. What about things like, let me ask you about this. What about things like sleep and I want to get back into the nutrition side a little bit, but I want to talk to you about the other stuff. Do you think about things like sleep and water and
water those things? Intake. Yep. Well, being on GLP-1, it makes you dry mouth. So you have to drink water. But sleep has been quite helpful in my journey. Not just sleep though, like making sure I love my primary care. We make sure that like my sleep is adequate enough. Like I'm actually getting enough sleep. I bought a walking pad because I realized Maddie and I did a scan of my body to see how much muscle and visceral fat I have.
Oh, okay.
I have on me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my goal is just to lower the visceral fat, but
good.
I walk more. And I don't normally do the challenges every month, but this one I'm doing. So kudos to Harold, because this one
Harold's
I'm doing.
Harold's going
to
make Harold happy.
Harold's challenge. So
this is what I'm doing.
So every day you to score points, the most amount of points you can score is you walk 11,000 steps in a day.
Yeah, I think
and
it's
then
like
no
four,
alcohol.
Three, 3 miles or something like that.
Speaking of the no alcohol. Right when I joined CrossFit, I mean, I'm a wine drinker. I have a wine subscription. Man, I learned very fast that alcohol and CrossFit
don't mix.
At least for me, it was like, girl, you cannot. So I even had a couple sips of a mimosa and I'm like, can't even drink it all.
Yeah.
And one of the things is also the
That's
sugar.
Awesome.
The sugar content in the wine subscription, I also think that's one of the reasons why I lost 40 pounds is because I stopped drinking.
Well, that's an easy way too, is just kind of cutting out calories and drinks, right? Like whether it be soda, alcohol,
coffees,
Gatorades, you know, whatever.
I still need to work on the coffee, but
just drinking water. Yeah, we don't need to drink calories.
Right.
It's a protein drink.
The alcohol thing, the one thing I found when I was drinking wine, I remember we did one of the, it was either January, I think it was a January, it was Dry Caveman. We used to do it every January.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember like the first, it was like two nights in, I sat down, you know, pulled up my phone and I went to reach for my glass of wine that I normally would have in the evening. I'm like, it's not there. Like, and I literally got irritated. I'm like, oh, shit. I went from irritated, like I can't drink wine, to like, I see what
light bulb.
I see what has happened here. And it was really a recognition thing for me that can quickly become a unconscious habit. that your body just does. Your body drinks because you go in, you go into the house, you're stressed at the end of the day. Yes. From, you know, that you open the fridge and there's that, you know, that beer or there's that glass of wine.
It's that quick dopamine hit.
Yeah. And the dope, but the dopamine starts before.
Yeah. Cause you know, you're going to have this.
Right. Cause you know, you're going to have it.
Yeah. You're looking forward to it.
Yeah. You're looking forward to it. And that's, I think it's the, and I do think it's that pre-dopamine release that's the really dangerous one, because that's the one that doesn't stop. And then you have a glass of alcohol and it lowers your inhibition. Now you can't fight it.
Oh, another one's fine.
Yeah. Or
the bottle's open.
For me, it's, I'd go, well, you know what? I'm going to have, fuck it. I already had wine. So now I'm going to have ice cream.
Correct.
Yeah.
Craig lives in my head. I'm telling you.
it's crazy. And we, and it's, you know, people say, well, it's, you're just not being disciplined. No, you'd like these food companies, and it's not in the
They've got it worked
they
out.
They do it on purpose.
They've got, absolutely. Yeah. They've got it worked out. So that shit's addictive.
They do. And it's not nefarious. It's not like, hey, let's try and, you know, create, make America sick. You know, I think, cause unfortunately there's some people that promote that kind of thought process, and it's not. It's like the food companies aren't trying to kill us. They don't benefit from that. The wine companies aren't trying to make us alcoholics. They don't benefit from that, but they do want us to consume more product, right? And they want us to consume their product. And
so, what's one way to do that?
Yeah,
make that shit addictive. They've engineered that shit. I don't know. I think part of them may not be trying to fuck you over, but some of them are definitely Christian, making a profit.
There's a debate. Like the tinfoil hat in this room goes from me to Jamie, Jamie to me, back and forth.
Yeah. You saw the sign on the front, right?
I want to come back to the nutrition side of it specifically, because one thing you mentioned is protein.
I was going
to
ask about
that. And this is something that I've had kind of a revelation over the last couple of years. And even more so the most this most recent year. And then I apply it to kids, especially to kids. The focusing on protein, I think protein is the savior, to be honest with you, for the obesity crisis in this country.
Yeah.
I think if everybody had to or was required to have protein with every meal that they ate or every snack that they ate, the problem would go away. Mm-hmm. I really think it's a saver, because protein satiates, protein gives you energy. Protein, this is one I, you know, read today, was protein reduces the sugar craving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I bought some smaller plates when I started working with Gwen.
Oh, I like that too.
And
Portion sizes.
And so we kind of talked about what the size of the plate, like what size the portion should be for protein. And I know this sounds so elementary, but I like literally had to buy dividers for like these little plate. Like I made like these cardboard dividers
just to section everything off.
Just to see if that's I had great.
It sounds like, what? She doesn't know that? No, 90% of people don't know what you're doing right now and how to do that. And using the dividers is an awesome idea.
Yeah, it was like I just broke up some cardboard and was like, okay. She said 3-4 ounces, 4 or 5 ounces. Yeah. I mean, it depends on which protein you're eating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the big part of this journey has been the protein.
Do you find it hard to kind of find protein to get it in, like when you're on like treks and stuff like that?
Yep. Yeah. And that's where I'm like back and forth with the sugar cravings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because trying to find the protein without the extra stuff surrounding the protein.
Right.
And a lot of the time, like, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
And so the problem is I can't necessarily not eat because I'm not hungry. Because this medication suppresses the hell out of my appetite.
Yeah. Okay. So you need to make sure you're getting the protein in.
Correct.
So that way you keep your lean body mass up.
Correct.
Yeah.
I coined kind of the 3 P's as a solution for...
Three P's.
Yeah, the 3 P's. This is Craig's like mental dawdlings when he's out walking his dogs. And it was eliminate processed foods.
Yes.
Control your portions.
Yeah.
And add protein.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not rocket science. Well,
yeah. But it's hard.
It's hard.
But it is remarkably hard.
Oh.
Yeah. When you get the sugar cravings, when you get the sugar cravings, you don't think, I'd really like to have some protein right now.
Well, what
you do not think that.
Glassman said one thing back in the day, like, you don't just eat a carton of eggs, like, oh, I'm gonna go get me another carton of eggs real quick. Like,
oh yeah, that was great. He did, he goes, you get an Entenmann's thing. And he goes, he did a great, it was that with the DDS.
Yeah.
He goes, get an Entenmann's. He goes, you know those Entenmann cakes, the like the lemon cake? He goes, yes. It's awesome. And he goes, and you open that thing up and you unwrap the plastic. And he goes, and you go, you know what? I'm just going to have a piece. And you cut a piece off. And you have that a piece of cake.
Thing.
Right. And he goes, and then you go and you go do something.
And you're back at the store and getting another fucking thing.
He goes, you come back and you get another slice. And he goes, pretty soon, by the middle of the day, you're licking the plastic wrapper.
You're back for another one.
Yeah. He goes, but he goes, you're never going to do that with a steak. And I was like, oh, so right.
Yeah.
He's so right.
Yeah. I'm a steak girl, though. I love a steak. Oh, I don't know.
So does my daughter. Thank goodness.
Oh, my
Nothing
goodness.
Wrong with that. It's no, good for you.
That's a good for you.
Yeah, I'm a steak girl.
So the GLP-1, is it, what's, yeah. is, tell us, when did you start that?
December 2023.
Okay.
2 months after I started.
Do you feel like you're going to have to do that the rest of your life?
No. Or?
Okay.
No, that was a hard no.
Right.
No.
Do you have plans of like when or how you're going to kind of wing off it or?
Yeah, I will say it's one of those things in the process where it feels okay. like it's almost, I hate to say it, but it feels like it's a crutch almost. Mm. And okay. so not necessarily a crutch. I don't know if that was the right word.
Well, no, that's probably a crutch in its truest sense, right? You got a bad leg, you know, you got to take some weight off the leg.
You had kind of mentioned before too. It's almost like it's a form of intervention to bridge the gap to do something more, I guess, natural or that's going to be sustainable for life.
Do you notice, are there any side effects that with respect to your fitness or strength or any of those things? Cause those are the things we've heard about.
No.
Okay.
I think that's all myth. Yeah. I mean, it could be individual, but me personally, no.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. And I think it's partly because you're CrossFitting.
My vitamins. Yeah.
Well, you're also taking care of everything else
on the
spectrum. It's not like you're relying on the one thing to be the thing that's going to do the trick.
I think a big part of this is also kind of eliminating some stress, though.
Okay.
Because I do I think that... I don't know. I feel like for me, I'm a stress person. Mm-hmm. Like I stress eat, I stress drink. And so I have found, thanks to Gwen, I feel like I owe her my life.
That's awesome.
I've found other ways to deal with that. Cause I would go, I'd literally like drink a whole glass of wine, and you can't drink and be on GLP-1. So I was doing, you know, some things that weren't
what happens
great.
When you were dangerous.
What happens when you drink on this stuff? Have you noticed anything like?
Well, I haven't.
You just didn't. You didn't even flirt.
It was early on. It hasn't been this year, but it was early on when I started not to really like. I wasn't really seeing any effects of the medication just yet. But honestly, I don't. Well, hold on. Pause. It did slow me down in the beginning.
Okay.
Drinking and then doing CrossFit. And on GLP-1 absolutely slowed me down in the beginning, but I was doing all three.
Yeah.
If I weren't drinking, I probably would have been okay.
It's good to know.
Yeah. The 5-6 years ago, I've told the story a couple of times. I was struggling. It's a old man thing. It happens in your 50s. The depression comes on as you age, testosterone, I don't know whatever it's related to, but I went through a cycle where it was probably a year where I was like, dragging, not motivated, taking long naps, just couldn't shake the sluggish feeling and the kind of feeling of depression.
Oh yeah.
And things weren't working out. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. Things aren't going the way I wanted to go. And I told my doctor about it. My doctor goes, well, let's put you on an antidepressant. And I'm an anti-drug guy. And I'm like, what? I don't need that. Just need to work out, maybe change my diet, get a little more sleep. He goes, yeah, you do. All those things are good. And he said, but let's try it. Mm. And so for 3 months, I did. And it was the reaction was immediate. I literally felt better the next day. And I didn't have that feeling of like, oh, you know what? I just want to go lay down and just ignore the world for an hour.
Yeah.
It was really helpful to snap me out of the vortex, right? That kind of brings you down, keeps you going down into that cycle. It was powerful. And then over a period of time, I kind of weaned myself off, took myself off of that. And I kind of see GLP-1s in that aspect. Right.
It's that, and it's that intervention.
Yeah. Right? Intervention for something that is incredibly, incredibly addictive.
Yeah.
And there are people that that's, you know, and I, there's some people that are, you know, are against GLP-1s and I look, I understand it. That's an it's an individual choice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I also see it as being a really valuable tool.
Well, that comes back down to
help break the cycle so that you can get traction in the other things in your life.
Yes. I think that that's what pharmaceuticals is like, supposed to be essentially right. Like a lot of this stuff is supposed to be some form of intervention, but you need to have some form of a protocol that you can wean off of it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a lifetime subscription.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know that I can sustain $400 a month for the next.
I'm sure you want that for other stuff too. Right.
Right.
A lot, but I definitely, I don't plan to, I don't know. I think definitely through this year, maybe for the first half of next year, but I do see what Jamie's saying. I've thought about it. I thought about it for a couple of weeks now because of the politics around it right now, but I don't know. I think maybe another 8 months.
I'm sure you've talked with Gwen a little bit about like what that looks like and just kind of figuring out some form of a protocol that sets you up for success going forward. Cause you're putting in the work right now, as far as like making those life changes and, you know, educating yourself as far as like the proteins and just like what's good to eat and what's not good to eat.
Yeah.
And you're putting in the work here.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you're doing it really
well, you know, look, sitting here talking to you about all of this.
Yeah.
Just to give you some perspective, you're talking to two people that have extensive training in fitness and nutrition that are, you know, licensed in this area. Two people that have made a business out of it. Two people that have been involved in fitness and education most of our whole lives, or been as athletes and everything else. And we're talking to you right now, and I feel like I'm talking to a peer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing this for a year at CrossFit.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the message I want to give to people. Like, don't be discouraged. It's one day at a time.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it takes, but within not too long, if you dedicate yourself, maybe you have that intervention, you can alter that lifestyle to become part of this community. And this community is, as Greg Glassman said, we're a lifeboat, you know, in a sea of chronic disease. We're the place where, because there is so much power and influence in that world, with their advertising, with the marketing, with the lobbying that they do to get their products on the shelves, all of the stuff that they do to try and deliver more products and make it good. Again, it's not nefarious.
Correct. Yeah.
But it is not contributing to the health of this country. And the way to break that cycle, you know, follow the steps that Christian's doing, and then become part of a community like this one. And there are others, you know, it just doesn't have to be CrossFit. There are others. But I'll tell you that CrossFit's one of the best ones.
I think with CrossFit too, well, I'll tell you about mine. I think not just being here, but like willing to push the limits a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So I think for me,
I like that.
I will come in like I am determined to get my ass up on that rope by the end of this year.
That's awesome. She did a private coaching session too.
So I think that, you know, when you come, just even the smallest goal makes a difference. Or like, okay, I did 25 last week on dumbbells. Let's try 30 this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a progression. And and that progression has to start with coming through the door.
Yeah. True.
Which is the hardest part every single time.
It's so funny. I walked in though, and I walked in and Maddie was leading a class, and Craig, I was like, why am I here? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to pay right now, because if I pay right now,
you're committed.
I pay happening. Right there.
You know, and one of the things I like to tell people is like, and it's hard for people, and I get it. You know, like, again, we get jaded, Jamie, and we get biased because we've been in and around it so much, but people come in, they see it, and they're like, I realize it doesn't matter who's in class. You come in, you're just like, fuck, everybody's fit and everybody knows what they're doing. And look at everybody moving their weights. Holy, I can't, that's not going to be me. And I tell people, you're going to be that person in a year. Christian is that person now.
Yeah.
They come in, they look at her and go, oh, okay, I'm not going to be able to do that.
I've had a couple members walk up to me, like, look at me, and they're like, wait, oh my God, it's you.
Like, that's awesome.
Like, all right. I don't know if it's that much but of you, a difference.
But that's awesome.
I really love the point you made about, like, you have to challenge stuff and you have to do hard things because that helps you with other aspects of your life.
Yes.
I do have another, you know, story about you recently, because, you know, because it doesn't change. There's always going to be times where you feel exposed and then, but you still got to get up and go. Christian ate shit yesterday.
No, what happened? Did you go over a box or something?
I fucking did.
Oh no.
She was doing farmer carries. She was doing farmer carries and came into the gym and hit the stall mats, you know, on that new stall mats. Yeah.
Shit.
And then I was irritated because they were like, oh, just relax, just relax. Like,
yeah, your adrenaline just goes boom through the roof.
Oh God. Yes, I did, unfortunately. But I was absolutely, you know, Hector, he's a CrossFit member. He's amazing. He was, he just got me water. He calmed me down. And I told Maddie I was going to RX that whole workout. Yeah. God damn, man. It's okay.
It's just a speed bump. It's just a speed bump.
So in our coaches meeting, so every week we talk about member injuries, things that happen to members, so that when a member comes into class, you know, then, you know, the next time they come into class, no matter who the coach is, we know already in advance about, you know, issues they may be having, things they may be struggling with, the injuries, and Maddie brought up told your story. And all of us were, but everybody that was there at the meeting, there's like seven or eight of our coaches there. And we were like, holy shit, she has come so far. That's amazing. Said, oh yeah, she's going to be fine.
Oh yeah, I'm fine.
Maddie goes, oh yeah, she was fine. She goes, you know, just freaked her out. And then,
did.
Yeah, falling is an
scary thing. Dude, it is, right?
It was hella
scary. It's not the fall, it's the sudden stop.
Yeah. But I told myself when Hector was like, oh, just sit down. Maddie was like, take your time. I was like, all right, but I'm still working out.
You're like, the time is still going.
Yes.
The workout's not over yet.
I didn't come here not to work out, damn
tell
it.
Me, tell, me you're, tell me you're a CrossFitter without telling me you're a CrossFitter. Right? That's outstanding. Yeah, the story was one of resilience. It was pretty cool to hear. And I mean, it kind of epitomizes everything that you've been through probably over over your life. And it's cool that you're gaining that confidence through us. We're really appreciative of that. What's for you, what's next? Like, you know, you're down 40 pounds since you started here. You're down, you know, over probably 150 pounds from your total weight. I mean, what's next? And then I have another topic I want to get on. I just remember, but anyway, let's talk about what's next for you that you're thinking.
Corey asked me this question yesterday. I really am focused on lowering my visceral fat. I don't know if I'll probably have to have some conversations about what that looks like for me because I'm not super educated on that. But I think over the next year, focus not necessarily on a number, but focusing on getting rid of some of that.
Okay.
Some of the visceral fat.
Visceral fat, for those that are nothing, and that's the fat in and around your organs. And so, for example, and primarily one of them is the bigger, the most dangerous portion is, or the dangerous part of it is the fat. It's fatty liver.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that can cause you long-term issues. And you're young still. And in it,
really,
and you'll bring that number down, and it takes a little bit longer.
Okay.
And your body, you know, your body goes to the most, you know, it's like one of those path of least resistance. It's going to go to the fat that's easiest to consume when you're in a calorie deficit, and then that visceral fat will come off as well. Mm. It's all part of the whole process. But that's a good thing to focus on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And that you can measure that through. You might consider, so we have the in-body machine, which is good. Mm-hmm. That's probably like 90% of a DEXA scan.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But at some point in time, maybe the next time, instead of doing an in-body with us, do one with us because so you can match those,
it'd be good
those
to compare
two numbers.
The two.
Right.
But you might also consider doing a DEXA scan.
Okay.
Which is,
Dr. Moore, you mentioned that to me.
Yeah, because the DEXA scans are very very comprehensive. They're, you know, $10,000 machines, maybe more now.
Yeah.
But it'll give you a really good detailed number on that. So you can have a real picture.
Okay.
Ours is the InBody uses an electric scan, and it's very good. It's very, you know, it'll cover, you know, like I said, like 90% of what everybody needs to know. What's your, do you remember what your basal metabolic rate is? What your calorie burn is? Did it say?
Oh God, you're asking me questions.
The BMR.
I don't. I think it was.
Probably, I want to say like 1700, 1600, I want to say probably.
I think it was 16.
Okay. Yeah.
16. I think it was, I want to say 17.
Are you counting calories?
I am.
Okay. Is that a pain in the ass?
Ish. Well, because you just said you dropped the
sometimes
app.
Sometimes I count, sometimes I don't. Okay. I'll tell you honestly, 9 times out of 10, I'm not counting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm all but right.
I
with
used
that.
To count.
I was going to say, yeah. You've kind of gotten yourself to a point where you have like a baseline as far as like, you know, what's what.
Yeah. And I think here's the thing though. And I think that this is where my relationship with my diet is going to stand the test of time when I come off the GLP-1.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that'll be the deterring, like that'll be the deciding factor because it is a help right now. Yeah. Right?
Do you have a good idea of when you are eating more than your daily kind of recommended calorie intake? Do you know, hey, that, yeah, I probably ate too many calories today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Immediately.
Okay, good. That's good. That's huge because I think that when you get to there, calorie counting is not necessary.
Right.
Yeah. Like if you know that kind of, you can say, oh yeah, that was too many calories. And then, you know, also today was a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are things that I kind of have in my ballpark. I know. And usually where it's reflected is when we sleep, mm-hmm. You know, do we have a good night's sleep or how we feel the next day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, yeah,
it's good that you're in touch with that. I think that I think that's really important for people to get to that point.
Definitely. Kind of like what Jamie said, I'm not counting.
Yeah.
But I think once I get off the medication, like
just as a point of reference for accountability going forward, then right. Do that for X amount of time. And then I'm sure you'll probably have another clear picture in your head as far as what's what.
Yeah.
One of the things you mentioned to me when we were talking up in the front room, and this is something that I've had a little bit of experience with a company called Virta over in San Francisco when I went and talked to them. And Virta, what this company does is, it's really fascinating. They give people the glucose monitors,
ones that's
in your arm. And then the team of doctors there at Virta that work there have access to that data. Mm. And that's so awesome. They started out initially with working with pre-diabetics and diabetics, and they had a 65% success ratio within 1 year of taking people off medications.
Awesome.
And really using that. So what they were able to see is like when someone ate, like they could look at the data and just go, they can watch their blood glucose levels and just, they basically were managing from a distance.
Yeah.
And then having conversations on a regular basis through text.
That's cool.
To manage, it's a really unique company, and they're using it as a tool to kind of prescribe nutrition or nutrition mm-hmm. care or counseling, nutrition That's coaching amazing. Through doctors, MDs, which is really cool.
Yeah.
One of the things that, so 65% retention rate is huge for like even medication, like having that kind of impact.
That's
is
a huge remarkable. Number.
Yeah. The one pain in the ass person that was in the room with us said, his hand said, well, tell me about the 35% that wasn't successful. And they said, all right, well, let me bring this guy, you know, the guy up that's, you know, that's the statistician guy. And they brought him up. He's an old guy and he didn't want to speak. He's like, he doesn't want to be here today. He doesn't like speaking in front of groups, but he'll answer your questions. So the guy came up and he just fit the bill when he walked up. His hair was a mess and his shirt was, you know, kind of dirty and unkempt,
disheveled.
He was great. And they said, he goes, well, look, you know, there's various different reasons. One, people's job schedule changed or they moved away or those types of things. He goes, the number one reason was social influence from family and friends.
Yeah. It's like a killer.
That's one of the things. I remember you had mentioned, I wanted to ask you about that a little bit.
Making the patient feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. about their weight loss. And they felt they were very self-conscious that they were making gains in their life, making improvements in their lives, and their spouse, friends, or others were not, or were even directly told, stop.
So I'm going to...
And we talked about this.
I'm going to contribute here.
Yes.
Because my family and friends, they notice that I've lost weight. They've also told me that I can stop. They also told me that I'm crazy for being in CrossFit. But mind you, none of my family members, mm-hmm. like, they'll probably hate me for saying this, but like, they think I'm crazy for working out. I think they're crazy for not working out. And I'm pretty vocal about it. I wasn't years before, but holidays,
yeah.
I used to bring a veggie platter made out of a turkey. They would fucking hate me.
Oh.
But I mean, I'm on a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would hate me. But I mean, my family, they don't work out.
And you think about that pressure from someone that's not been in the fitness world. That is, I think for many people, understandably insurmountable.
Yes.
Understandably insurmountable. Yeah. You don't want to, you don't want to hurt your family and friends. You don't want to do what your family and friends, you know, want you to do to be included with them. And that's the hard part. That's where people in it. And he said, that was one of the things he said, people had to sometimes leave their family and friends behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to your overall health and longevity, like you got to run your own race.
I mean, my mom, she was 460 pounds at her heaviest. My grandmother was 700 when she passed away.
Wow.
What? But listen, this shit that I am battling
is deep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Gwen.
Yeah. It's,
do you, it's did deep. I wanted to go ahead and hear this.
She probably already knows. This is deep.
Yeah.
It's this for me. I will always be. Everybody has that one thing in life, right? That they work towards.
Yeah.
This will be my thing forever.
That's awesome.
Forever. Like, I've accepted it.
It's good. And you don't have to answer this question if it's too uncomfortable, because this is the part where, you know, I want to simplify. Why is that? Why was your grandmother 7 pounds? Why was your mother over 400 pounds? Do you think it's a genetic propensity for weight gain, or do you think it's anything else environmental, or do you think it's simply just behavioral? Like, this is who we are.
It's a multitude of things.
Okay.
It is absolutely behavioral. I think it's 100% behavioral. I think it's also resources.
Yeah.
My mom was single mother, born and raised in Antioch, but she's doing it by herself.
Yeah.
No education. So sometimes we'd eat pancakes for dinner, right?
Mm, yep.
I think that it's also... some of it
she got it done, right?
She got that shit done.
Yeah.
Some of it is mental. There's a history. I suffer from depression. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of this is genetic. I think some of it is mental. I think some of it is behavioral. I remember being, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 years old, and I wouldn't eat in front of people because I was already so large. But then when I was by myself, oh my God.
Made up for that time.
The food could not stand a chance.
Wow.
It was bad, but some of it is, it's behavioral. It's genetic. It is, I will tell you, everyone in my family is, we've all lost, like my mom, she's lost over 100 pounds, but like we're still heavy. So
and congratulations to you. You're like the explorer that's going off into the wilderness. Correct. First.
Yeah.
Great way to put it.
Yep.
And
great analogy.
You're forging a new path that for future generations. Correct. Of your family.
That's correct. My sister tells me all the time, she's like, if only I could work out like you. And I'm like, you can.
Is she also local or?
No, she's in Texas.
Okay.
I can find her a good CrossFit gym.
Yeah, we can get her set up.
I at some point I was going to Orange Theory, which did not work for me. But I took her to Orange Theory and she was going for a while and she lost 30 pounds and she stopped going.
Yep. And it's having those people that you got to connect with that expect you to be in class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the huge parts about CrossFit. But you're breaking the cycle. And I can't even imagine having to be that person. And it's outstanding because it may be one person you affect for the rest of their life, but maybe. But I have a feeling it's going to be a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
Yeah, and that's really freaking cool.
Yeah.
Do you notice any other benefits? So you've changed your diet. You're now you're CrossFitting.
Yep.
How about things like joint pain? Did your sleep get better? Did like all of the kind of the ancillary effects?
I was experiencing a lot of
or depression, for example.
I was experiencing a lot of back issues.
Okay.
Before I came to CrossFit.
Okay.
Some of our mobility at first, it was like, why the fuck are we doing all these stretches?
I still say that.
Craig is one of the worst.
But now I kind of look forward
Craig
to it.
Craig is absolutely probably the worst in the gym when it comes to mobility.
I totally get that.
Why are we doing so much mobility? Yeah. But it has actually, that has helped. I had a lot of back issues. And I think that had to do with the weight. That I was carrying.
Oh, yeah. I'm carrying that extra weight all the time.
You asked the second part of the question.
Yeah. So related to things like sleep, and then how about mood or depression stuff?
Yes. I suffer from depression. I do take medication.
Okay.
And I'm at the same dose, but I think when I started, but I think one of the things that CrossFit has taught me when it comes to my mental is that I'm as strong as I think I am. And I sometimes that. I think I'm a little bit stronger than I actually physically am, but I do see that I'm more joyful for sure.
Cool.
Since coming to CrossFit, and not even that, I isolate less. I'm actually really extroverted.
More social with it.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more social.
Awesome.
And you know, I don't know. I think I have like some borderline personality disorder. I probably don't, but like I don't like being around folks.
Most of us in this gym do. Welcome to CrossFit.
But I have found things that bring me a little bit more joy. And one of them is CrossFit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I talk about CrossFit on my LinkedIn all the time.
Oh, boy.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's annoying about CrossFitters.
There you go. That's how you know you're a CrossFitter. Yeah. People don't tell you, shut up about the CrossFit.
It was funny as people come in and I'm like, why'd you come in this? Well, you know, my sister told me, or my, you know, husband told me, or my spouse told me, and I'm like, did they not shut up about CrossFit? They're like, yes. I forget who it was that came in and started CrossFit, said, do not. And it was her friend that I knew at another CrossFit somewhere else, but said, do not tell her that I'm doing CrossFit. I don't want her to know. I'll tell her when I'm ready. Because all she does is tell me to do CrossFit. Yeah.
Sometimes I start the Monday leader meetings and I'm like, oh, did anyone do anything fun today? And one of them will say, well, I know Christian did CrossFit this weekend.
Awesome. That is so great. I love the volume you're at too, the 3 to 5. That's, you know, that's right now at 60. Perfect. That's 3 to 4 days a week. That's my sweet spot for CrossFit too. And what do you do on the other days? Are there other things that you do?
I do my Peloton.
Yeah. That's cool.
I walk. I got the walking pad.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Walking pad. What is that?
It's like a treadmill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a treadmill. I'm a big news girl. I like to watch the nightly news.
Okay. So you walk and watch the stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes while I'm walking or when I'm watching a show, I'll get on the walking pad and just walk for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing great. Too fast, but like
movement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get
those steps in.
Yeah. You know, it's another thing that, you know, I was talking to Kat about. We were talking about steps and stuff, and she, you know, everybody's measuring their steps this month because we're doing the challenge of Diablo for number of steps every month. And one of the things we observed is, the, you know, Kat and Yvonne and Kim, you, if anyone knows them here at this gym, they're all over this gym when they're here. Yeah. When they're here, they're working because they can't just sit still. They're all over. They're cleaning something. They're doing something.
Especially Kim.
Yeah, especially Kim. She's like, I go up to the front desk. Like, you were just at the front desk. Now she's completely other
you
side.
You turn around. You go into the back room. And she's there.
But dude, they're doing like 8,000 to 10,000 steps
just being here
that's at the amazing. Gym.
Yeah,
and then then look at them. Right, they're all ripped. Yeah.
Correct.
And I was sitting there, I was up there doing the math. I'm like, oh, right? And that's why Kelly Starrett and Juliet Starrett wrote the book, you know, Move.
Yeah,
and it was about like, hey, it's like really that the solution for most people: protein, No processed foods.
Portion size.
And then, but there's no P for walking. So, and walking.
Yeah. Paces.
Oh, yes.
Four. Paces. We got four P's.
And paces. Move throughout the day.
Yes.
Because it's the sedentary lifestyle that is the one that starts to get you.
Yeah.
And you know? I have a very, working in banking, you can just sit all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that walking pad really comes in handy.
Oh, yes.
That stuff.
And that's another thing, that those are easy fixes. That's why I love what Casey and Callie Means did and went and spoke to the House of Representatives about the crisis, the chronic disease crisis. And really the solution is just, it's not as hard as people think. Yes, it's hard.
It's not as hard, but it is hard.
Well, yeah. So what do I say? What is it? It's
not complicated, it's hard.
Yeah. It's
about what you.
It's simple. It's, but it's hard. But it is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, it's hard. I mean, it is hard. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but I think it's, I don't want to say this and sound like I'm privileged, but it's hard, but you just do it.
Yeah.
You just have to commit to it. Even in the hard moments, you just have to get up and just do something. I mean, even if it's cleaning, making your bed or doing something,
it's a good thing to start with right there.
It's something. It's hard though.
When I did that, when we did that burpee challenge the previous month, the hardest part was the first 10 burpees. I'd stand here and I'd look at the ground. I'm like, I do not want to do these. And all I had to do was lay down to do my first one. And as soon as I did 10, I was like, oh, I got this. Yep. I can spread spread out the rest of them throughout the rest of the day.
Reminds me of that death by.
Yeah,
fucking Jamie.
There's your benchmark. There's your benchmark.
Death by.
Oh, actually, you might be on. So.
Yeah, interesting. There we go.
Yeah,
it's still running. The clock is still ticking.
All
right, sorry.
We had something happen. I can't cut that out. But anyway, so what's your favorite movement?
I would have to say.
Least favorite, which was Inchworm, just in case it goes down.
They have become my favorite, though. I love a power snatch.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning how to do them effectively.
You will learn and love this snatch.
Jamie's
always
reminded me of depth. Always.
You got a good depth. It's just keep you on track. Keep you on the path.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that you just start seeing people start to creep up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nope, just get back down. You'll stay there.
It's definitely the fatigue.
So is it a power snatch barbell or kettlebell or dumbbell?
Oh, barbell. Barbell. Makes me feel powerful.
It's so fun just throwing weight around.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
And so we got, so you're adding in, you add Peloton, and then you do walking. I mean, that's awesome. Like those things right there. Are you pretty much active 7 days a week?
I would say, well, I'm up.
Walking.
I would say active,
yeah,
like five.
Okay.
Five. Let's just say conservatively five.
Okay.
Sundays are typically my rest days, but sometimes I come. Austin has some really good music. So sometimes I come on Sundays, but it depends on if I go to church or not.
Okay.
That's awesome. Dude, you're doing all the right things. Like that's the lifestyle right there. And if you can make that a lifestyle, you're winning.
I feel like I'm winning. I'm winning because I'm here.
Yeah. And I think the thing to like to take note of is like, you know, 40 pounds in a year is remarkable for anyone. But some people may say this, well, that's not enough. I want to lose. You
that's
know.
How I felt.
Right. And you just get, you almost get discouraged, but it's going to, you are quickly right at the point, like where Athena is. And we talked about Athena,
yeah,
where she's like, you know, she may get a pound every few days and then sometimes go backwards. And that's with anyone that's, you know, that's kind of made it a lifestyle. We go up, we go down, but then we keep making very, very slow progress. Your progress starts to become very, very slow and incremental.
And you also probably start to figure out you might have some other markers that you want to work
on. That's right.
Too. Like you're set. Yeah. Or maybe you want to run faster, have a set time, or give yourself more other targets. So that way it's not so much about what the scale says, but it actually has a better representation of you and your performance in general.
That's right. I only recently was able to get my feet off the ground, and it was because I started working with Chad.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. That's how you do it. You grind. Mm-hmm. Listen, thank you very much for being on. This is for us a real treat. And
thank you for making the 100.
Thanks for making this happen.
Yeah, this is the awesome 100th episode. And we wish you amazing good luck. And we look forward to doing this again in a year.
To review where you are.
Yeah, so would I. I mean, I think that's what people need to think. It's just a lifetime journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to watch your progress, over that period of time. Cool.
Do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Christian.
Thank you. Till next time.